With Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder, this is In Perspective.
There was a fellow named Dr. Freeman in the church I pastored in Charlotte. Every time I met him, he said, well, the guy who was washing my car prayed to receive Jesus. The guy that was cutting my grass prayed to receive Jesus. And every time he talked to me, he talked to me about somebody that prayed to receive Jesus. And I had another guy in the church, and Spencer would tell me about all the people he had shared Jesus with, but he never could get anybody to pray with him. You know what? Both of those guys had evangelistic gifts, but one was fashioned as a reaper, the other was fashioned as a cultivator. And each one had received a gift from the Holy Spirit.
Welcome, and stay with us as Harry Reeder applies the Scriptures to the everyday events of life, that we might begin to view our existence from God's eternal perspective, that we might view all of life from a biblical perspective. Today on In Perspective, Dr. Harry Reeder brings us the second part of a message entitled The Gifts of the Spirit, as we conclude our series, Led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in Biblical Perspective. The Corinthian believers were looking for answers from the Apostle Paul about the subject of spiritual gifts. Well, little has changed in 2,000 years, for many Christians in our day are still seeking answers on this important issue. As we examine God's Word, we discover that all who have been led by the Spirit to Christ for life are led by the same Spirit with spiritual gifts to serve Christ as a unique and connected member of the body of Christ, His Church. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Here again is Harry Reeder with the second part of the message, The Gifts of the Spirit.
Now he gets down to business about the spiritual gifts directly. Look at the next phrase. To each one is given the manifestation, that would be another way to say the gift of the Spirit. To each one is given the gifts of the Spirit, or the gift of the Spirit, for the common good. Now we just found out something else. I didn't get my spiritual gift for self-gratification. I got it for the common good of the body, to stay on mission, on message, in ministry. I receive my gift for the commonwealth of the body of Christ, for the common good of the body of Christ in serving our Lord Jesus Christ. So then he says, for to the one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, to another according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions them to each one individually as he wills. So now, stop right here. Okay, Pastor, what about that ministry of healing? What about the gift of healing, the gift of faith, the gift of tongues, the gift of interpretation? Are all of those present today, or have some ceased, or have they all continued? You know, that is a wonderful question. So I'm going to invite you back when I address that. Not today. I just don't have time. I'm sorry. Have any ceased, or do they all continue? And if some have ceased, why and what would they be? And what would the Bible tell us about that? And how do we move forward? We're going to take a look at that. But I want you to seize that closing sentence. You have a gift. God gave it to you. The Father authored it. The Son oversees it in ministry. And the Holy Spirit gave that gift to you. And it's a sovereign gift. You don't pray it up. You don't work it up. You work it out. You don't work it up. You work on it and work it out. That's what you and I do. You have received the gift that God knows you need, that God wants you to have. You work on it and you work it out, but you don't work it up. He gives this to you by grace, by design, by deployment, and he will enable you as you stir up the gift and develop it as it grows in developing and working in your life. And then to get this point across of this unity and diversity, he then goes back to his wonderful picture of the church, the body of Christ. Look at verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. So here, remember, we've been saying this all year. The baptism with the Spirit who brings you to Christ and puts you into the body of Christ is not a second blessing for some. It is something given to all. We all. I wish he had just said you all, but he said we all. We all have received this. Every single one of us have received this. This is God's work by His Spirit in all of us, and we're all drinking of the same Spirit. But as you drink of that Spirit, as you're keeping step in the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, sealed by the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, grieving the Spirit, repenting of grieving the Spirit, growing in the Spirit. As all of that is taking place in your life, being anointed by the Spirit, all of that unfolding in your life, He is doing a unique gifting for you in the body of Christ to use for Christ in ministry and an effect ordained by the Father. So he goes on to verse 14 to develop it even more. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. You can see what he's addressing. There are some people, because of the arrogance of others, that said, my gift doesn't count. I guess the only gifts that count is that one. And he's saying, wait. Stop. We're the body of Christ. What if we were just all an eye? Can you imagine a 10,000-pound eye going around as the church of Jesus? Where would the hearing be? Where would the smell be? Where would the walking be? Where would the touching be? Where would all of the speaking be? Where would all of that be? God has given all of these gifts. And you can't think that yours isn't important and necessary. There are no little people or little gifts in the body of Christ. None. Everyone's dependent upon the other. My wife did a needlepoint one time trying to encourage me. She was from Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 17, and particularly verse 16, where Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? And it's a passage on the importance of preaching. She was trying to encourage me in my ministry. And, you know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of Christ. But Lord, how come everybody don't seem to respond? And then, of course, she put in the Isaiah text, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of good things. Okay, every time we look at that needlepoint, we laugh. Pretty much gales of hilarity. Beautiful feet, Harry Reader. You will not find a sandal in my closet. I can promise you that. I would not inflict upon anybody to have to look at me wearing sandals. I have, try not to imagine them. I have the ugliest feet that God ever decided to make in this world. And one of them in particular has a problem with one toe. Don't try not to think about it, but it has a problem with one toe. Well, this last week I spent 3 days on heating pads under Bengay, and stretching and everything, because in my little jogging enterprise, I got a bad back. You know what my doctor told me? He said, you don't really have a bad back. He said, you got a bad knee. Can I tell you why I got a bad knee? Because you got an ugly foot. In other words, I was compensating for my foot that caused the knee problem that then caused the back problem. You understand that? There's a lot of us, we think we got a back problem in the church. We have a back problem. We got some feet not showing up. That's our problem. And we're trying to adjust. And we're trying to accommodate. That's what's happening. So, And one of the reasons they may not be showing up is they don't think they're important. Actually, our knee can't function without you. Our backs won't be right without you. And then we can't get out and jog. We can't move without you. Every single part is important. One can't say in non-humble, arrogant self-deprecation. Did you hear what I said? Arrogant self-deprecation. Well, if I can't be that gift, I'm just not going to show up. I'm not important. I just won't show up. I won't be a good steward of my gift. Because God made a mistake. He shouldn't have given me this one. My gift isn't even important. Why'd you give me this, God? Then he says, but there's another problem, of course, and that's the arrogance of those that would introduce that into the body of Christ. Look at, if you would, at the next verse, verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. So every member shows up, we all rejoice because now we're functioning. One doesn't show up, one is absent, or one is discarded, or one is not valued, then the body of Christ begins to suffer because all are needed for us to stay on mission, on message, and in ministry. Understand this. We are all gifted and called to worship, but we got some people gifted in worship that help us worship. We're all called and gifted to evangelize, but we got some people gifted in evangelism that can set the pace for us. We're all called to pray in faith, but we got some people with the gift of faith in prayer. We are all called to love one another, but we got some people with a particular gift of hospitality that sets the table in the love of one another and that ways that encourage all of us that others of us don't have. We're all called to be discipled and to disciple, but we got some people that are gifted in discipleship. We're all called to teach one another, but we got some people that are gifted to be teachers. We're all called to proclaim or preach the gospel, but we got some who are gifted to preach and teach and pastor teach within the body of Christ. That's what God has done within the body, and every part is important. And one can't say, mine's not important. In false pride, I won't show up. And one can't say in arrogant pride, by the way, don't show up. I got everything this body needs with my gift. This church exists for me so that I've got a platform for my gift. The rest of y'all can show up if you want to, but it's really all about me. And he drives a stake in both of those. He does it purposely. What I love is the moment when there was a guy that did an interview of Billy Graham. This was years and years ago, but I'll never forget reading it. It was after this God's having blessed the crusade in Pittsburgh. And he asked Billy, he said, Billy, these crusades from Los Angeles now, city after city, and now to Pittsburgh, it's unbelievable what God has done. Billy, what's the key? I know you're going to say the gospel, but what's the functional key? What is it that's really making this go? Now, he thought it was going to be, well, you got to have a big choir singing Just As I Am. Or you got to know how to give the invitation. Or Cliff Barrows. Or George Beverly Shea. Which one was it going to be? He said, that's easy. There's a lady that's been commissioned by a church. And she's got the crusade schedule. She goes the week ahead of the crusade, puts herself in the hotel room and prays the entire time for the crusade that coming week. Then while we're having the crusade, she stays in the room and comes and stands in the stadium to pray for what's going on. And then afterwards, she goes around to all the churches that are following up and prays with them on the follow-up of the crusade. He said, that's the person you ought to go visit. Nobody would have known her. Everybody knows George Beverly Shea, Cliff Barrows. Everybody knows Billy. Everybody knows all that? He said, no, let me tell you who it was. You see, folks, we're the body of Christ. And what you get fascinated with, God allows us to get fascinated with it so that we will honor it. But in reality, we get over-fascinated with it to the dishonor of what's actually more important. The visible becomes more important than the invisible to us. But in reality, it's the invisible. In your own body, is that not true? What's more important, your eyelashes or your liver? I mean, what did you do this morning before you came to church? I know what you did. I know exactly what you did because I did it. You went and stood in front of the mirror. And you looked at your hair or the lack thereof. And you combed it. Didn't take me long. And then you finished. And you walked out. How many of you stopped in front of the mirror and said, "Wonder how my kidneys are doing?" Well, let me ask you something. If your hair falls out, and I'm a living testimony to this, if your hair falls out, can you live? What about if your kidney falls out? You're done. It's those invisible gifts that are so crucial in the body of Christ. Absolutely crucial. Well, I'm out of time, so let me just outline this for you, and then we'll go with the takeaway. Here's the outline. The outline is this. Number one is this, is the indispensable gift for life from Christ. There is, this passage teaches you the indispensable gift for life from Christ. Jesus Christ is the life-giving Spirit. In other words, Jesus has rose, and he has poured forth his Spirit. Who is the indispensable gift for life from Christ? The Holy Spirit. Without him, you cannot say Jesus is Lord, and without him, you will not be faithful to the Lord. So he is the indispensable gift of life from Christ. Number two, the second thing that we learn from this text is the indescribable gift of life in Christ is Christ. The Holy Spirit brings you to Christ, and it's Christ that brings you and gives you life eternal. The Holy Spirit brings you from death to life, and that life is Christ. He is the indescribable gift. Number three, he is not only do you have the indispensable gift of the Holy Spirit, the indescribable gift of life in Christ, you have the intentional gifts in life for Christ, your spiritual gifts. They are intentionally given to you. Number one, they are unique. No one has a gift like yours. Let me put it this way. Lord willing, we're going to get some rain. Lord willing, we're going to get maybe even some snow. When the snow falls, every snowflake's going to look like a snowflake. But you know what you're going to find out? Each one, if you put it under a microscope, is unique. It is absolutely unique. So we're all gifted, and many times it looks like they're very similar, but in reality, every single one of you are unique, and nobody is like your gift. Nobody. And your place is important in the body of Christ. Number two, not only are you unique, but number two, you are interdependent. You are to function in context with the body of Christ. That's where the Lord put your gifts to be exercised, in the body of Christ. Not out on your own, in the body of Christ. So we are to function as members of the body for the common good, as we have been uniquely gifted by God, number three, in his sovereign appointment. He has sovereignly designed and deployed you with your gift in the body of Christ for the common good, and yours is unique, and you are to be a good steward of it to bring it to bear in use for the body of Christ in the church of Jesus Christ. So what's the takeaway? Here's your takeaway. All who have been led by the Spirit to Christ for life, all who are led by the Spirit to Christ for life are led by the same Spirit with spiritual gifts to serve Christ as unique and connected members of the body of Christ, his church. So if you don't mind, I'm going to be very pointed here. Let me explain two things to you. The Church of Jesus Christ does not exist to be a platform for you to exalt your gift. The Church of Jesus Christ does not exist to be a platform for my gift, your gift, or any gift to be lifted up above other gifts. That's not why the church is here. Briarwood doesn't exist to give me a job. Briarwood doesn't exist for my gift. My gifts have been given for Briarwood. And that's the way they are to be given. They are unique. Spiritual gifts are not physical talents. I remember at Christ Covenant, we had our version of the Graduates in Career, which I love this ministry that's going on here. And I loved it back in Charlotte, our Graduates in Career. And there were about three or four guys that had this amazing gift with their hands. You know what they did? They had this gift with their hands. So once a quarter, they had a Saturday for widows, single women, and single moms to bring their car to get it serviced by them. And if there's something they couldn't do, they had a list of mechanics they would refer them to that were Christian mechanics. Now, fixing cars is not a spiritual gift. In my house, I have a screwdriver, a hammer, and a pair of pliers. If it takes anything more, we're done. We're done. If it takes anything more than that, I can tell you what Cindy's going to say. Honey, call somebody. I said, well, I can save us some money. She said, no, you're going to cost us more money. I want you to go ahead and call somebody. So we got some wonderful guys here that helped me and some wonderful plumbers and electricians that I can call on. And you can come here and I'll pay you to do this because it's going to cost more if I try to do it. I am not gifted. I am absolutely astounded with people who are gifted to work with their hands. I praise the Lord for them. These guys all had the gift. They were just mechanically minded. They could fix things. They could do the filter. They could do the oil filter. They could change the oil. They could do this. They could check the tire. They could do all of those things. And they had enough sense to know if they couldn't do it, we'll find somebody that can. And they helped. But you know what their gift was? Mercy. That was their gift. A gift is not a personality package either. Dr. Barker is the founding pastor of this church for 40 years. He has the gift of being a pastor, preacher, teacher. I have the gift of being a pastor, preacher, teacher. We got two different personality packages. The gifts are not personality packages. That's the delivery system. They're not physical talents. Those are enhancements. The gifts are spiritual gifts that God has uniquely given you to be fastened and demonstrated in the body of Christ. By the way, just in case anybody always wants to do that, let me tell you what those four guys did after they worked on the cars. When the women would come back, single ladies, single moms, and widows, when they'd come back, their car would be ready with a little note on it and a rose on the seat. It was amazing how many marriages that came out of that ministry. It was really interesting what happened out of that. Okay, so here's what I want you to see. I want you to see this, that is connected to the body of Christ. The body of Christ does not exist to be a platform to exalt our gift, nor is our gift going to be fully used if we try to use it apart from the body of Christ. If you just play drive-by church, church is something I go to on Sunday morning, maybe if it works in the schedule, your gifts are not being stewarded. They're not, listen, I want to say it as clear as I can. They're not being stewarded. I don't care what organization you started. I thank God for every organization, but your gifts were made to function in the body of Christ, His church. That's according to the Bible. I'm not being a good steward if I am not in a robust, connected relationship with the covenant community stewarding my body, my gift in the body of Christ, which doesn't exist to exalt my gift, but I exist for the common good for that body to function for the glory of God. That's why God has gifted me. That's why God has called me. If you don't show up, what's going to happen? No, we'll get the job done because Jesus is greater than any of us. We'll get the job done. When I was a kid, my mama would give me 50 cents every Saturday to go to the movie. So it's 10 cent round trip on the number 2 bus from my house up to the square. Round trip, 10 cents. It was 25 cents to get in the movie. It was 15 cents for me to get milk duds and an orange drink. And then I would come home and I had a nickel left and it would be a pea shooter I would get because in those days there was no air conditioning and one of my greatest fun things was to ride back home on the bus with my pea shooter and peppering all the people with the open windows at the stop sign. Isn't that wonderful? I'm just confessing. That's all. I'm confessing. So that's what I did on Saturdays. When I would walk from my mom's place at Sears and Roebuck down to the Carolina Theater, down to the Imperial Theater, when I would walk down there, I passed a place called the White Castle. It was a hamburger place. And there was a guy that was sat out in front of that. He had no legs. He had a leather saddle that he had made for his lower extremities. And that's what he sat on. He played a harmonica and there wasn't much playing, but he had a hat out and people would come by and they would give him things as he played. I remember one time watching and saw somebody throw a quarter absentmindedly. It missed a hat. And I saw him lay the harmonica down. I saw him reach over and get 2 blocks of wood with a leather strap, put them on his hands, and he pushed himself up and he walked on his fist on those blocks of wood. He picked up the quarter, put it in the hat, walked back, took him off, started playing again. He got the job done. But ask him, would you rather have those blocks of wood and walk on your arms, or would you like to have had 2 legs? Ask him. Brothers and sisters, that's what's happening in the body of Christ. In our individualism, we're disconnected from the body of Christ, and we're not stewards of our gifts, and we're not connected to the body of Christ. Therefore, we got a lot of people that are arms that are having to take the place of legs. We got a lot of people that are, now we're going to get the job done because we're going to put our trust in Jesus. But what if the whole body came together with all of their gifts, not exalting themselves, nor demeaning themselves, no jealousy, no envy, no pride, no arrogance, but good stewards for the common good, to stay on message and in ministry. Worship, evangelism, loving, and discipling. What would happen with good stewards of God's varied graces?
The Corinthians were seeking answers about spiritual gifts, just like many Christians today. All who have been led by the Spirit to Christ for life are led by the same Spirit with spiritual gifts to serve Christ as a unique and connected member of the body of Christ, His Church. If you would like to receive an audio copy of the entire message from which today's broadcast was taken, write and request The Gifts of the Spirit, or simply ask for message number 13618. Again, that's message number 13618. We do request $5 to underwrite the cost of the CD and shipping and handling. Address your request to In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama 35243. Romans 8:14 says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." We live in an age where the person and ministry of the Holy Spirit is either distorted or neglected. Yet His power and presence has never been more needed. In Perspective is pleased to announce the offering of Harry Reader's newest CD series, The Holy Spirit in Biblical Perspective. Harry delves into the Scriptures in great detail in this two-volume set on the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? What is the witness and work of the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to be filled and anointed in the Spirit? What does it mean to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? These are just a few of the issues Harry raises in this detailed biblical study. The study comes in two volumes. Volume 1 contains 16 CDs and is available for $40. Volume 2 has 13 CDs and is available for $35. Order both for $75. Ask for the Holy Spirit in Biblical Perspective when you contact us, or order online by going to briarwood.org/Holy Spirit CD. That's briarwood.org/Holy Spirit CD. The goal of this sermon series is that we become more and more led by the Spirit each day. We do hope Harry's teaching on In Perspective is being used to strengthen your walk in Christ. For additional video, audio, and written resources, download the Briarwood app. Go to your favorite app store, type in Briarwood PCA. This app is yours free of charge. Harry would love to hear back from you. Write In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama, 35243. Email Harry at inperspective@briarwood.org. Join us again next time as Harry Reader takes us back into the Scriptures so that we might learn to put all of life in biblical perspective.